We're beginning today the 10 plagues. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. Exodus chapter 7, 14. As Bill was saying in his prayer, we have a Father, an all-knowing Father. A Father who knows everything about us. A Father that has the attributes of protection. Father who has the attributes of care, Father who has the attributes of provisions for us, a Father who understands us, a Father that forgives us, and a Father that knows us. And we're so thankful for that. And we have proof for that. As we look through the scriptures, again, we have evidence for our belief that is founded on those things which are hard and solid. So we need to live that way and consider him in our lives. Appreciate y'all being here. I'm going to start the plagues, the 10 plagues in the Exodus. And there's, as we go through the plagues, there's things to think about. And if I miss one, remind me of that and remind the each of us of those when I do my list here. The first thing, as we look through the plagues, let's think about those time words. The words of time, so it's 3 days or 7 days, or tomorrow, midnight, twilight. There's things of time. And let's consider those as we look through the 10 plagues. Now, why is that important? It's not a random act. What God predicts, as Moses tells the words of God to Pharaoh, those things are predicted, not random. It's going to be tomorrow. It's going to last for 3 days. It's going to last for 7 days. When I leave this town, it's going to begin. So those are things that are proof for us that build our faith. So be looking for those words as you go through these plagues. Also, you'll see that generally there's a progressive intensity, okay, with the plagues as we go through them. Some may not appear to be intense, that intense or a progression, but they're certainly, to these people, at that time, they were. So that's an idea also. Okay, remember that, the intensity of that. And along with that intensity, we're going to see inconvenience items to start with, and then things are going to change to death, and even to destruction. And then a great amazement. So there's going to be a progression of severity, I guess you'd say, okay, through the plagues. And if you have severity, you would hope that as you progress, you know, to a child, you say, don't do that. But then when you, after a while, what do? You start counting to three, or, okay, or things like that. Then maybe a spanking after that, or whatever it is, a restriction. So we do that in our lives too, don't we? The progression, all right? And that leads me to the next point that we're going to see in Pharaoh, as in all of us, we have a stubborn streak sometimes, don't we? We all do, whatever issue it is. And that's manifests itself in the way that he deals with these Israelites. And to the detriment of his people, detriment of himself. Detriment of his rule, a detriment of the gods that he worships, the Pharaoh. But stubborn streaks can lead us down a road that we shouldn't be down. So, and also as we move in life, you see that the more you're stubborn about an issue, the harder you get on it. The more solid you seem to be on it. The more you don't want to receive, okay, an instruction on it. So it's something that gets harder to overcome. So that's the issue here with the Pharaoh. All right, just remember that as we go through this. Also, as we go through, look around at the other Egyptians and see that they were on board, and finally they'll have issues of losing their faith in their gods, coming to doubt, and a little weakening, softening in their approach. So those other Egyptians are the same way. So be looking for that as you go through the plagues. Also, God, we talked about he cares. He cares about all people. Pharaoh and their repentance. He cares about the Egyptians. He cares about Moses' faith, the Israelites' faith, the Hebrews. And as we go through that, especially for the Egyptians and the plagues, he warns them. In most instances, he warns them first through Moses and Aaron. And then he also describes what's going to happen. And therefore, you say after that, let my people go, or this is going to happen. So God wants them to change. He wants them to choose. He gives them a choice, okay, as all of us do in life. So it's something to think about there also, that he's a loving God and cares, but he also wants the best for everyone, what is good. Now, if anyone has any points to add to these, please do that. Now, we'll also see as we go through here that there's a change where the Israelites are living up on the delta, up in the Goshen area, where they've been building cities and livestock and that sort of thing. And you'll see that there's, I guess you'd say, an exemption, a segregation of that area as we go into some plagues. The majority of them are where the plagues do not affect them. And that's obvious to be seen. Now, how can that build faith in them? And how can you lose faith from the Egyptians? Well, if you take, they're seeing that the suffering or daylight or whatever it is not occurring in their area, in death and destruction and disease and insects. But it is occurring in the Egyptian soil area and on the Egyptians. So that can build their faith, and it can also affect the faith, okay, in their gods of the Egyptians. And that's something for us to think about too, that these words are true from the prophet Moses. And in this truth, it shows that he can discriminate, he can segregate, he can guard his people, protect his people, and offer the good, all right, cause one to repentance, it caused build the faith of another. So that's something to think about. And we talked about the objective evidence that we can have, whether for these people at that time, for Moses and Aaron to build their faith. Certainly they're going to need this faith as they leave Egypt after the plagues, because they're going to face other challenges in life, okay, and other doubts, even on Moses' part. But they can look back at the plagues, look back at the plagues and see what this Lord God did for them and continues to do for them. So it builds faith. That's again for us today also, because it's referenced many times. Anything else that we need to look for in the plagues to go through that may come to your mind? All right. We may see some other points we go through. So let's look at the plagues now in 7, beginning in 7:14. We just went through the issue with the serpent, okay, where the serpent was before Pharaoh, and the staff was turned into a serpent and consumed the other serpents, signifying the strength of the Lord God, and that's a teaching lesson for them. And what in that teaching lesson there was that strength of the God, strength of the one that Hebrews serve, the ones that you serve today, same Jehovah God, so that should build our strength. Now, in the Exodus 7:14, then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refused to let the people go. Great word, stubborn there. All right. I mean, again, we've already talked about that somewhat. That then the idea of stubbornness can be refusal to do things, the modifying of your position, compromising your position on a certain issue, sometimes leaving the word of God because of stubbornness. So it's something we need to also be looking at, okay, as we travel through life. Now, go to Pharaoh in the morning, as one of our time words, morning, as he is going out of the water, and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile, and you shall take in your hand a staff that was turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to say, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me. We talked about service, meaning the idea of worship, the idea of sacrifice, those things that would be unique to the service of Jehovah God. And so we need to think about that, and that's what they wanted to do. And in 7:17, key verse here to think about, that is, thus the Lord said, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. And that's something for all of us to think about. You shall know that I am the Lord. And certainly a strength, as Moses was saying this to Pharaoh, strength to Aaron, strength to the Israelites, and a great big question mark of Pharaoh, you shall know that I am the Lord through the power that he does. And I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. And so what's the result of that? What's the result of that being turned to blood? The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul. The Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch it out to Egypt, and over the rivers, over the streams, the pools, the reservoirs of water that may become blood, and there will be blood throughout all the land, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. So we've got now this first plague, this first problem, if you could say that, with drinking water. And there's a remedy for that. Okay, you can dig, okay, I guess some holes in the ground and have water to drink. But this is going to last, and we'll come to that, the idea of 7 days. And it's a comprehensive, isn't it? All the water. And is this a difficulty? Yeah, it's a difficulty. Inconvenience? Well, yeah. But, of course, this is now throughout the land of Egypt, apparently. And so it's teaching everyone a lesson about the power of God. Is this reminiscent of something else that happened to Moses earlier? One of the proofs, wasn't it? That's right, shaking your head. That one of the proofs for Moses from the Lord was that he poured water from the Nile on the ground, on dry ground, and became blood. So that's an interesting point. No doubt, okay, when we go forward with this, that he's copied those, or heard about that issue. All right, residues of water. It's interesting, too, vessels of wood and stone. Is that the only ones that had in their houses? Well, maybe. There's maybe some water you take to drink. I was looking further, and there's also in Exodus, they had bowls of gold, bowls of silver, bowls of bronze. So they had other bowls beside those. But what's interesting here, it talks about wood and stone. So that's something to consider. Now, in verse 20, so Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of the servants, not hidden, shown. Here's what happened. I've struck the water. You can see what I did, and all of a sudden it turns to blood. Now, there was a great God of the Nile, the one who provided everything for them, and it's a direct confrontation with that God of the Nile, direct confrontation with him, turning their waters, the waters of the Nile, which had provided them with food, providing them with water, providing those things to keep them alive, and now it's putrid. Now it's useless. Now it's useless. So the power of their God is at stake here. Directly confronting that, also directly confronting Jehovah God. And 7:21, then the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water in the Nile, and the blood was throughout all the land of Egypt. Even the idea of fish sometimes is overlooked there in the Nile. We know about blood, but the fish died also. Again, they had gods to the fish. And here's food, and all those sort of things that God is directly confronting those idols that they had, ones that they worshiped day by day. The Pharaoh was, I guess you'd say, a head leader on that, the one who directed thoughts on that, the different gods they had. All right. And again, we talked about in 7:22, magicians of Egypt did the same. Well, what did they do the same? In degree? In magnitude? With their secret arts? And Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he did not listen to them. And in the next verse, in 23, he saw what happened to the Nile, saw what happened to them, and said he has no concern for it. So he just moved on. Yes?
I've always found it interesting
Well, again, we're talking tricks here. We're talking magic, magical arts. And they may have had a pitcher of water from a well they dug. But, okay, again, it's not the same magnitude. It's not the same thing. And even to the point of turning it back to water. Yes, sir. Let me read the next couple of verses on that. 24. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile.
But did they actually find clear water?
Apparently they did, okay, but it was an effort, wasn't it? Was it an inconvenience? A strong inconvenience. Yes, sir. Well, they dug around the Nile looking for clear water. How's that? All right.
They could not drink water.
From the Nile.
Water of the Nile. They actually found clear water.
Okay.
Could this be one of those things where when he says they did the same, they struck the water, it says, but their secret are. So it's that, again, it's a trick. Whatever it is, it's a trick. It never says before this verse that they found
except they were pre-warned, didn't they? Because they knew, probably knew of the...
But it doesn't matter. It's a miracle. There was a plague. They claimed they knew ahead of time. We have no indication that there was any water. It says vessel of wood. It says vessel of stone. We're making an assumption that there may have been gold bowls and other things. I think we're are we extending this too far? This is what this was. It was a miraculous event. So they performed secret arts. They may have done the same acts, but to me, they're... How can you make that leap that there was water for them to turn
to
water?
All right.
That's just.
Yes, sir.
Could it be that God wanted this to happen? That's why he allowed their water to not fill with water so that they could do this magic trick and the Pharaoh would turn away and go.
Well, we can make the point they dug around. There's an assumption there they found water. Okay? But they did. They were searching for water. Now, in a human body, how many days without food, how many days without water can we go? Use 3 days water and a month or without food. Okay? So again, that's human reasoning there. We're plugging into this. This was a 7-day drought, I guess you'd say. So it's an interesting point to think about. But again, God's hand is in all this. And it's to teach the Egyptians, okay, and the Israelites, there's a power of God in existence here. Somebody else? Yes, sir. You can talk. You can call it surface waters. You can call a lot of things. Okay, but that's a good point that we don't extend it too much from Scripture and read too much into it. But we do know that there was it affected Pharaoh. It affected them. It was the first plague that God chose to place upon the whole country of Egypt, the nation of Egypt, and it had its effect. Anything else?
Okay.
Okay. The appearance of things put for the thing itself. And again, they were pre-warned about it also, because they had already heard of Moses pouring water on Nile, water on the ground, turning to blood. So same thing with the serpent. They had already known about that ahead of time. So they had no doubt prepared for that. So it's an interesting thing to think about. But again, it does not, our discussion does not nullify the point that this great waters of the Nile, the tributaries, the ponds, the reservoirs, the water in their houses turned to a foul liquid that could not be consumed. And that's
the thing. One thing that bothers us is the word sign. Look at Exodus 22:30. You have the same word, sign.
Mm-hmm.
What this shows is that word they used did not mean the same in every detail.
Right. We've seen magicians and illusionists, mentalists, okay, they seem to do miraculous things, sometimes with cards, sometimes with great props that they have, and it really looks real. And a matter of fact, with these illusionists and mentalists and magicians, the other individuals in that profession wonder how it happens also. So it's a great secret they have. And no doubt with Pharaoh, which they have been practicing these black arts, magic arts, for years and years to impress the Pharaoh of their ability to see the future, the ability to predict and instruct and advise the Pharaoh what to do. They had learned these things. So again, it's things to think about. And again, God's confronting them directly on their magic arts. And again, the same is not the same in every detail. Matter of fact, it's illusion. All right. Now, so 7 days passed, and the Lord had struck the Nile in 725, and in 8:1. Okay, now 8:1 is going to be a change. So that's over with. They've hopefully they've learned some lesson, but he didn't learn a lesson. The Pharaoh didn't. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh again, warning. Here's what's going to happen, Pharaoh." Give you a chance to change. Give you a chance to repent. Okay? Moses is the mouthpiece of God, the prophet of God in this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, let my people go that they may serve me. But if he refused to let them go, behold, I smite your whole territory with frogs." Now, that may be a kind of a silly thing for us to think about. But in their mind, the frog was deity. The frog was a worshipped idol. And it's important to them. And it's interesting here, the Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and in your bedroom and on your bed in the houses of your servants, of your people, into your ovens, in kneading bowls. It will come up on you and your people and all your servants. They're everywhere. Nuisance? Yeah, a nuisance. Problem? Everywhere. So they came up out of the Nile also, didn't they? So this is an interesting thing there where maybe God cleaned the Nile up, I'm assuming that, all right? Or they just came up. The point is they were there in existence everywhere. Would that bother you during the day, at night? You get frogs everywhere, okay? Yeah, I don't know what size these frogs were, all right, or whatever, but the point is they're everywhere. And again, a direct confrontation with the God of the Nile, God of the frogs, and it affects them. The inconvenience, well, yeah, okay. Slippery, yeah, all right, but they're everywhere. So again, God's progressing in here in the intensity. The intensity. So it's an interesting point. Now, 8:5, then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand, staff over the rivers and streams and pools. And so Aaron stretched out his hand, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Again, in appearance, there were frogs that come up. It's kind of hard to think about frogs coming up if frogs are already everywhere. I guess you could catch a few of them, all right? But the point is, a clearing area. You have more frogs, all right? If they really wanted to prove they didn't have a God, they'd remove the frogs. But it's an interesting thing. Again, we think frogs are a direct assault on the God of the frog, okay? And it probably has a connection with the Nile, too. Yes, sir? Interesting. Good point. Right, right. Of course, in 8:8, there's the intent of it again. I'll remove them. Pharaoh says, you know, take the frogs away, and I'll let you go to sacrifice to the Lord. That's what you wanted to do. You wanted to sacrifice. You wanted to go. Well, get rid of the frogs. And 8:9, Moses said to Pharaoh, the honor is yours to tell me when shall I? Time words, entreat for you and your servants and your people, frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may left only in the Nile. And 8:10, then he said, Pharaoh said, tomorrow. So he said, may it according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And so in 8:11, the frogs will depart from you and your houses and your servants and your people, they will be left only in the Nile. And 8:12, went out Pharaoh, and Moses cried, the Lord concerning the frogs, inflicted Pharaoh, and the Lord did according to Moses. The frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled up in 8:14 in heaps, and the land became foul. 8:15, what did Pharaoh react? Did he repent? They say, well, they all cleaned up now. They're gone. All back in the Nile. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart, did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. The Lord had said. So he did a temporary relief, trying to get Moses to do that. Moses made the appeal. God brought, discontinued the frogs, took them out of the lands. They died, but Pharaoh lied. Pharaoh lied. The stubbornness caused him to do that. Now, that's that part of it. So they're not released. They're not going to sacrifice, which was the original question to him, let us go. So now we're going to a third plague. he's plaguing all the water.
No, not the water, the frogs.
The frogs are everywhere.
In verse 3, it says, and I will form frogs which will come up and go into your house, into your bedroom, into your bed, into the houses of your servants and your people. When God is talking and later in the chapter, he mentions, if you do not let my people, so doesn't he distinguish between your and mine? That's what I'm asking.
I'm going to make a distinction because God made a distinction coming up in the plagues where he says the land of Goshen, okay, is not affected. And so we'll have to make an assumption here that the Israelites were not affected. So what you go back a while ago, what you were saying.
They were affected with the frogs.
They were affected.
They were affected.
Yeah, I would think they would be. Yes. Any other comments? Okay. Now, the third plague, then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth and become gnats through all the land. And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff, struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land. The magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there are gnats on man and beast. Then the physician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, did not listen to them. Gnats. I've been in Texas gnats, all right? And they're a little hard to breathe sometimes when you're around them. They get in your eyes. But these gnats here apparently were more dramatic, more intrusive, the harmful type. As you read some literature on that, they would sting. They were certainly everywhere, as we see the dust, everywhere, but they sting. So an irritant, yes. Affecting what you do every day, yes. Everywhere, yes. So getting more inconvenience for them, but also that constant irritation that there's something out there that's affecting us, these gnats, as abundant as the earth, as the dust is, it's affecting them. All right? Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's just interpretation of the word, okay? Different versions use gnats or flies, but the point is, yes. Yeah, that's the swarms. That's a swarm. There's a difference in this one and the next one. The next one's much more severe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we go through this, we can see that the gnats, they're available. They're hurting people. They're going man and beast this time, all right? And they're doing those things to them that irritate them, inconvenience. No one's died yet. But they're certainly an irritant. Eyes, nose, house, they're everywhere. As abundant as the dust of the earth. Now, and we struck the dust to the earth. You just struck it, okay? So it's an interesting thing that the earth is involved, flying gnats are involved, flies involved. But it's, again, a progressive item. It may not seem that severe to us, but especially on the next item. We'll see that, maybe experience some of those. All right. Any comments? Now, the next plague, they're swarmed like we just talked about. Let me go back a second. Then the magicians, I said, this is the finger of God. Now, so they're looking out at this, and apparently they can't duplicate it or do the same as a trick. So they're beginning to recognize something. All right, that the finger of God is involved. Now, they're not saying the Lord God. They haven't come to that point of belief, but they're saying there's a God involved here, Pharaoh. Okay, and we can see something happening that we just can't duplicate, something going on that's maybe beyond us. So there's an interesting point here. Maybe there's a God we don't know about. Okay, in Acts 17, we want to know about all gods. Yes, ma'am.
I think
consensus on that. They've used the words, they're called skinthies, okay, little gnats, okay? But there's all kinds of irritants. The point is, though, here's something God chose exactly to irritate them, to bring them to repentance, maybe, all right? But in this one, they couldn't duplicate it, so we're seeing a decrease in power from the magicians. They couldn't do it. And Pharaoh's seeing that. It didn't change. Okay, now again, we've got 10 plagues. All right? Yes, sir. That's right. We could, because they use the word gnats, it means something small, something that couldn't, you know, kill. There's just too many of them. So again, on cattle and beast. All right? On the next one, 8:20, now the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, what's he going to say? Let my people go that they may serve me. Let them go. Next morning. For if you do not let my people, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people into the houses of the Egyptians, will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of them. 23. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will occur. And the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the houses of Pharaoh and the houses of the servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies and all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called to Moses and Aaron, go sacrifice to your God within the land. Go sacrifice, okay? But Moses said, it is not right to do so. And he talks about if they're within the land, then the other Egyptians would see them sacrificing their animals, and they would stone them. Okay, again, the cows and cattle were sacred. And in 27, we must go 3 days' journey to the wilderness and sacrifice the Lord our God as he commands us. Now, there's a lot there. When we say swarm of flies, we've got the separation now. We've got the tomorrow in verse 23. And reading up on that also, great swarms of flies, okay? Is that an irritant? Yes. Some versions, like we've seen before, have something called a dog fly. Being in Texas, I've had horse flies after me, if you've ever done that, if they've been after you. And if horse flies bite, that's where I see some nods. They're hard. And can imagine the air filled with those, gnawing on you, biting. And it's not a good feeling at all. And it certainly wakes you up to the power that's being exerted on Egypt and not exerted on Goshen, the Israelites. And you can see the appeals to Pharaoh. You talk to the gods, remove this, but it's not being removed. Not being removed. So there's interesting things going on, from irritations being more severe now. And things to think about as we go through the gesture.
Thank you.
And again, the teaching going on here by these progression of plagues is supposed to bring them and awaken them to the power of their gods. And it's a hard fact that they're going to have to learn through these plagues. And of course, God knows the outcome of the plagues, but he's progressing in this. And let me finish this one. And the swarms of flies, and he hardened his heart. He wouldn't let the people go. And wouldn't listen to Moses. So that's an interesting point here to remember. So we'll continue our questions next time, which the questions may be a little quicker next time because we pretty well went over these items on these two plagues. And again, appreciate you next time. Thank you.